So, here we are. It's a Wednesday. We've got Bex in the co-host chair, and we've just been joined by the Green parliamentary candidate for this year's election in just a couple of months' time. It's Vix... Is it Lowthian or Loth...
Lowthian.
Yeah. I knew it was.
You were right.
Now, this is the second time you've been in.
It is.
And last time you came in, it was the first time you'd ever done anything radio-wise?
Yeah, pretty much so, yes.
Okay, so this is... how are you finding things? Because it's been a couple of months. Have you, stepped on the gas?
Well, the Green Party on the island have. We've tripled our membership. So we've had to move. We keep having to move out of where we hold our meetings now. So we should hopefully be somewhere in Sandown next month.
Wow.
I think there were about 25, 30 at the meetings, whereas in the summer there was half a dozen.
Wow.
So it's become a different sort of campaign.
Is there a sense of, maybe for the first time in many, many years, that there is a chance that we won't get, you know, the stranglehold will be broken because it's either been Lib Dem or Conservative for forever and a day. No one else has been voted in. Is that a sense of feeling that there's something going to happen?
Yes, and I think there's two reasons for that, isn't there? I think there's a problem with the Lib Dem and the Conservatives on the island, and then there's the push of the other alternatives, isn't it? It's a situation because of the downwards of some people, the upwards of others.
How much of an eye do you keep on what's going on with the Conservatives? Because at the moment, I mean, I look at it and I think they must be very, very split, to the point where last week there was a story in the Sunday Mail, and they said that Andrew Turner's having his moment tomorrow. He's going to tell everybody what his campaign is going to be all about, and the story was that activists were going to turn up. Well, they weren't activists, they were Conservatives that turned up, and basically they were the ones that are trying to pull the rug from under Andrew Turner. How much of that are you paying attention to?
I
or
think
are you just getting on with
I'm
your
only,
own thing?
I'm only following it in the same way that you're probably following it. I don't know anybody that's involved in it. It's something that I'm following in terms of being able to be asked questions like yourself, but really it's nothing to do with me.
But I suppose you must be aware of it a little bit, but then how much do you focus on, hey, hang on a minute, I can't worry about that, I've got to worry about my own game here?
Yeah, absolutely.
So what's different in the last couple of months? Membership's up, what else are you doing?
Yeah, membership's up, and so we're having people turning up to meetings, and when we go around they introduce themselves and say they just want to help. And so in a position now that we've got people that want to help, and we're trying to find opportunities for that. So that's why we're looking at involving a lot more meetings, maybe going around the island and holding some meetings. We have been doing a lot more on the social media front, hopefully getting some more donations as well. But I've been visiting businesses. I went to Vestas, and I've got appointments for Rapa Nui, looking at Southern Vectis, the Sustainable Marine Energy, a lot of number of different places to go and listen to, you know, how they perceive the island and how they perceive the future vision, really.
Okay, I mean, there's a lot to do and a little bit of time to do it in. What we've got to point out is, as well, is that, and I've said to you in messages via Facebook, this is what people should understand and should get and tap into straight away. You haven't got a team of people that is paid and doing this, that and the other. You know, the Conservatives have got money to do that. Labour have got a team of people doing exactly the same thing, and the Lib Dems as well. How much is that hampering you?
I don't know, because I don't know what they're doing. In a way, it means that you can sort of focus on doing your own sort of campaign. I don't have anybody sort of on high telling me what to do, what shouldn't I do, apart from obviously legal things. But very much it means that our campaign is led from the island by island residents. It's not a part of a big, huge machine.
There was a lady that posted something on my Facebook page about 2-3 weeks ago, and obviously you know about it. I'm just going to refresh your memory, but she said something along the lines of, for the first time, there you go, Mr. Mac, for the first time in my right to vote life, I have no idea who I trust or vote for, unless you stood as your twin.
You not
once.
Thought about that?
Well, yeah, many times, but maybe because it's put me off purely and simply because I don't have a team of people. I look at it and think that's a massive, massive task, And, you know, I think you're brave doing it. I really do. Because, sadly, one of my other questions was going to be, do you think it's fair that because they are, they're companies, aren't they? They've got loads of money to spend on their publishing and getting things out there. You haven't.
No.
Is that right and is that fair? Should there be a limit on how much you could spend for certain things?
I do believe one of the Green Party policies is having public funding for political parties to get more of a level playing field. Sometimes it can help, though. You know, like we have the whole problem with the should the Green Party be in the debates and be included in that. That has led to a massive rocketing rise in membership of the Green Party because it's seen as an underdog. Obviously, that's not a future, is it? You know, that's not going to get us up to government standard. But
can I ask you a personal question?
Yeah.
Well, it's I'm just going to ask it because I think you seem to be a really nice lady. You seem to be in touch so much more than many of the people that are standing. Is that going to be enough? And would, just say, for instance, if you did get voted in, would you be out of your depth?
Yeah, you seem. I've had that accusing me before, being nice.
It's not an accusation.
I know you're saying that is the crux of the issue, isn't it? When you're looking at people to trust, and the people you trust, you can trust people because they're coming from your direction, or you can trust people because you know that they're a safe pair of hands in the job. Yeah, and that's why we've had, you know, 14 years of a particular MP, because you're like, this is a safe pair of hands in this job. No, I haven't been a parliamentarian before. I haven't been an MP before. I haven't been on the council before. I've been involved in parish council situation in a sort of supportive capacity. I'm used to communicating to people and listening to people and getting huge amounts of information in my job and studying and condensing it down to something that makes sense. I'm not too young to do this.
I also believe that it is a case of, I mean, you just said that you've been honest, and that's what I like about you already. I'm thinking, well, where am I going to put my cross? Because that's what people like. They like the honesty, they like the warmth, and so on and so forth. You're answering the question, but wouldn't it be nice if somebody did actually get into the big house and they've never done it before, and they're going to tear up the rule book and we're going to do it differently? Because that's what we all want anyway.
Well, Parliament is supposed to be, democracy is supposed to represent us, isn't it? It's supposed to be one person representing 60 to a here 110,000 voters. It's not supposed to be career people that have been doing this since the age of 22, 23, and that's all they've done. It's supposed to be people coming from different backgrounds and putting forward checks and balances on the government and making sure that they're listening to the ordinary people. I wouldn't say I'm an average person, you know, Joe average. You know, I've been to university, I have a professional job being a lecturer at the college, but I do offer something that a lot of the other, mainly the big political parties nationally, don't, which is somebody coming from a grassroots position.
Okay. I'm kind of liking that, but still.
But whether you trust, it's the trust that this person can is capable of standing up and being a citizen representing the island, isn't it?
Yeah.
And because I don't have a track record in that, I can't say, oh, remember when I was on the council from 2005 to now, or when I led that particular business, or because I don't have that track record. It's understandable that you're questioning that.
Trust. I'm just asking the question. You to me come across, and I've said this in public places, I've said this on the radio before, you to me come across as probably the most honest, probably the most naive, but the most honest and most in touch with people of the Isle of Wight. And I think that's a good thing, because I think what's happened across the board, the Isle of Wight is, you know, it is no different to anywhere else. The MPs have become just detached from everyday life. And I think maybe, well, someone like you may rule the changes and think, right, okay, we now need to listen to the people, because the people are a little bit annoyed. They are a little bit frustrated.
And I think what the sort of qualities you're seeing in me is some qualities that people see in some of the individuals standing for UKIP in a sort of an anti-political vote. I'm not saying I'm anti-political, you know, I'm interested. But it's that sort of, we're finding an alternative sort of candidate, an alternative, you know, not your usual career politician or somebody who's been coached. Gets the UKIP into trouble sometimes because of the sort of things that they say, but it's an honest approach.
Okay, well, I'm sure Beck's got some questions. We'll come to Beck's in a moment, but I just want to, obviously, Penny Mills put this message up about the for the first time in her life, she doesn't know who to vote for. And she ain't alone, because I think more this time round than ever before, there's an awful lot of people, there's an awful lot of votes out there to be won. So how do you get round and make sure that they've got the choice to vote Green? It's all very well seeing it in a column and thinking, right, make the choice. How difficult a job have you got now for the next 2-3 months getting out there and getting in people's faces?
Yeah, I mean, it's too short a time, really, to be able to do as much as I would like to do. If somebody said to me the election's in November, I'd be like, brilliant, I've got time to go around to all the people that I want to see and listen to and approach. But it's sort of snowballed, and when I initially took this role on in sort of September, October time, I wasn't envisaging having to lead a campaign like I'm having to lead, just purely down to the popularity that's happening. I mean, what I can do in terms of technology and social media and stuff is limited, really, because it's limited to the 15,000-20,000 islanders that use that sort of information and actively seek it out. Luckily, on the island, we've got a community, and a word of mouth thing I think is very important. And when people are having discussions about who do we vote for, who do we trust, where are we going, what direction are we taking in as an island? I mean, that's to do with everything that's happened on the island in the last 6-8 years.
Mike from Freshwater says, if you get voted in, what are you going to do for us?
I think the Green Party represents two of the facets of the island, really. And one is the most obvious green with a small g identity that we have, and being able to put us onto a national stage. Because if you see what Caroline Lucas has done for our perception of Brighton, and not talk about the local council, but what she does, the island is a product. And part of that product on a national stage would be represented by Green, and having that vision and taking them forward in terms of jobs. The Green Party believe in a lot more investing in renewable energies and to create jobs within that climate industry.
Mick Lyons says, at the moment we can expect Nicky Morgan, Danny Alexander and Caroline Lucas to lose in May. What would you say to that?
Like you said, on the island, we don't know what's going to happen. I think that's why a lot of commentators and journalists are particularly interested in this election. I think there'll be lots of, you know, Michael Portillo moments, to put it that way. If you remember when he lost his seat in 97, sure, and people were shocked, I think there will be a lot of that. I'm hoping that that Green Party managed to, they are concentrating a lot of their resources, their limited resources, in Brighton, because Caroline's so important to them.
Now, Bex made a point earlier on, and this isn't a criticism, this is something, because I believe that maybe, you know, being new to the game, we're all learning and so on and so forth. Bex said she went on your website and couldn't find policies. So what are your policies?
No, because I think we've got a link to the national website for that.
And what I think probably my point would be was
my translation of the policies.
Your translation to the Isle of Wight, and what that would mean to us as a community.
Yeah, and what I was intending to do, yeah, you're right, there should be a list of all of them. What I was intending to do was to take them topic by topic and have a post that I would emphasise, you know, and have discussions of each week, which I haven't started doing that yet. We're waiting for the manifesto. Well, I am personally.
I know.
The Green Party have so many policies, it's actually stretching through treacle in a way.
I know, there's, I tried policies on, last night.
Yeah, there's policies on animals, policies on nuclear, policies on fish, policies on everything. And so, part of my job is getting that information and being able to translate it. But really, once I've got the manifesto, because all those policies are great, but they are, as people say, oh, it's very nice, isn't it? You know, all these great policies the Green Party have, how are you going to pay for it? Yes. And I know that 4 or 5 years ago, the manifesto was carefully costed, yes, and they'd looked at how much those things would cost and how they're going to pay for it. And once I've got the manifesto, it's a lot easier for me to be able to explain, well, these are the, you know, the pros and the cons in a way. Here are the people who will be affected in terms of taxation. Here are the people who will be affected in terms of the benefits towards them. No, you're absolutely right to point that out. In fact, that's what I should do, is an overview post, so at least somebody's got an idea, direction.
I think it would be helpful, because I think, you know, I went on to the Green, I followed the link to the Green Party policies, and I read and I read. And after a while, I was thinking, crikey, you know, I need to spend 2 or 3 days looking through these, because after a while, you get information overload. And I think, you know, you and I both come from dairy farm backgrounds and things, and I think there's probably quite a big vote catcher in that on the island, isn't there? Because dairy farmers are suffering hideously.
Yes. I mean, my dad left dairy farming at the big foot and mouth episode. I mean, not because of that. It was just a week or two before that. But and so I read that, is it 10,000 dairy farmers we've lost since my dad gave up?
Yes.
So my dad is one of those 10,000 people. I can well see it because my dad had a, you know, a 50-acre farm.
I mean, what is, you know, the Green Party thing? When it, the madness of our farmers producing milk and being priced out the market by someone from another country.
Yeah.
You know, why aren't we looking after our local producers? Is, I mean, is that, would,
because
that,
because, but that's a whole culture in our politics. It's a free market culture. You have that, yeah, with farming, you have that with ferries, you have that with everything. You just leave it up to the market to decide. With, you know, in terms of the NHS as well, with it's, yes, it is to do with farming and the price of milk, and obviously it's just ridiculous that we could end up in this situation. We don't have a dairy industry.
Yes.
It's completely unsustainable that we have to import everything, and that's not what I think the public want.
Exactly. I don't think it is, and I don't think people realise when they go to their local supermarket and they've got, you know, they can pick up 4 pints of milk for 89p, mm-hmm, who exactly is suffering, and actually, mm-hmm, it's not doing our economy any good whatsoever.
But then that's sort of demonstrated by my concerns, really, about the Asda development.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's epitomising that the massive keenness to have this Asda. We're going to have cheap yoghurts and milk and everything, because obviously Asda has a dairy background as a business. It's Walmart, yeah, now, but that's where it comes from. But it's the consequences of that, and really, that's that we're only limited what we can do on an island or a regional, sorry, a local scale, and that's why I'm much more interested in what we can do nationally, because I think these problems come from the national government. The problem we have with our local council having to cut, you know, 20-30 million pounds, that's, you know, I feel for the local council to make that. That's not why those councillors went into that job, to make cuts and slash it. And we're in that situation because of national government. We have to make a stand against that direction, that sort of cut, and not listening to various industries like that. It's to do with not having the correct legislation in place, and that's a national problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you say that you're still waiting for something to come from Green head office?
Well, it's the same with all the political parties. None of them have released their manifesto.
I'm glad you made that point. Because, you know, if I were you, I'd be there thinking, well, hang on a minute, we haven't got this detail that we should, or these are the tools that we're going to go out and speak to people. Yeah. But they're all at the same stage.
Yeah, we don't have a Labour Party manifesto, a Conservative. That we have policies.
It's worrying. Here we are in it's January, and all of these groups of people still haven't got their policies out there.
No, I mean, their policies are there, but their press release policies or the policies on the website.
Right.
From, I guess maybe 4-5 years ago, we might have all had an idea who we were going to vote for, so we didn't pay so much attention. But when you're not sure who to vote for, the manifesto becomes much more important. I mean, I'm going to the Green Party conference in Liverpool in just over a month's time, and I would hope by then that, you know, at the conference we'd have a manifesto that we would be discussing, and I can ask. I'm hopefully going to meet some of the people in the Green Party. I haven't been to a conference before, you know, and to actually sort of explain to them the situation on the island. So I had to do this at a conference I went to in London, a regional one. So I'm going to go up there and actually make them understand that on the island there is a huge amount of interest.
Okay. Samuel Grieve says, Conservatives win on the island, job done. That's not strictly true, because the Lib Dems have had a crack at it as well. The only real threat to them is a dilution of their voters going to UKIP. How would you feel about that? What would you say to that?
It's a Conservative UKIP.
Basically,
that's it, we just got Conservative or UKIP.
Yeah.
It's just not true. That's only, I mean, 30,000 votes for the Conservative last time. Maybe you could add another 10,000. We're looking at a third of the people on the island would vote Conservative or UKIP.
Have you set yourself a target? Have you laid in bed at night thinking, hang on a minute, let's work out this. If I get X amount, I could get voted in with 15,000 if it goes my way.
I've sort of thought about, you know, what proportion of people who voted this last time would vote for me now. But yeah. It's immaterial, really, unless I actually get out there and explain, you know, my position and my vision for the island. It's just number crunching, isn't it?
It is. I mean, 30,000 for Andrew Turner last time. I don't think he's going to get 30,000 this time.
No.
There was 20,000 Lib Dem votes up for grabs, because I don't think they're going to get 20,000 this time. But the one thing that we do know is very, very recently, as recent as last year, 15,000 people voted in something that didn't really you know, expect to get 15,000 votes, but they did. How much, I mean, we've not, I've had some correspondence with Ian McKee to come in and he says he's going to come in, but that was about 2-3 months ago, and he's very quiet at the moment. So do you think there's a reason for that?
I think nationally, when UKIP are quiet, it's usually to their benefit.
That's a brilliant answer.
A potential MP with a sense of humour. I like it. Ali says, having known who I would vote for since I was 18, this is the first time in my mind it isn't made up. The island needs someone special to represent them, be their MP. I don't honestly think we have that person in the candidates and that have come forward so far. Let's hope that there is another choice waiting in the wings. What would you say? Because you must be hearing this all the time. And I'm not saying this to upset you, by the way. Yeah. I'm just saying, because
so
obviously...
So you're not going to upset me? I know you think I'm not...
Well, I just...
Don't have been daintily traded around It's absolutely fine.
She's
to be black
three
and
sons.
White.
She's
yeah.
Yeah. I just saw you as this fragile little hippie. No, and I'm thinking, I can't
Ian.
Be horrible.
No, that's not.
So
what
you must be hearing that a lot. So what do you say to that?
What, we're waiting for somebody else to stand?
Well, what's so much? I mean, you know, when people say it's a two-horse race, I mean, what do you say to that?
I think because people say about the people around and they listen to. And I think that people get this idea that when their friends are saying this, everybody else on the island thinks this. And maybe this is a thing with social media where you can sort of see it and you're limited to seeing the people who are your friends. I think nobody knows what's going on in individual homes. I think people are coming up to their own conclusions this time. They're not thinking about who they voted for before. I think vast majority of people will change the colour they vote for.
I think you're right. I think this time it's going to be the closest ever on the island. I do believe that. Mrs. J says, the only reason I can't vote Green is because I object to wind turbines on the island. Also, I do not want forced solar panels, as in all schools, as that takes away choice for parents. Good luck, though, Vix, it says here. I mean, to me, when it comes down to it, you're going to have X amount of policies. Mm-hmm. Conservatives are going to have X amount of policies. And just say, for instance, if Joe Bloggs says, right, I'm going to vote for them because I agree with 7 of theirs and I only agree with 6 of theirs, mm-hmm. OK? There are going to be policies that we're not going to like. I mean, it ain't just about turbines, is it? There must be other things that, you know, we could vote for you for. What, just say, for instance, you don't know much about me. What do you think is going to convince me to vote for you? What do you think? What policy is going to convince me to
vote
for
you? Well, the non-environmental policies are things that the Green Party have got a lot more support on, are the social policies, education policies, transport policies. So things like having a living wage. At the moment, it's economically unviable. What happens is that people are paid a wage that isn't enough to live on. And so it's supplemented with various taxes, benefits by our government. So in fact, you know, big corporations are paying people £6-7 an hour, which isn't enough to live on. So they're getting taxation to, you know, what do you call it, positive benefits that they get in order to up that income. And we pay for that. So why not get people to actually be paid a living wage? Another notion is a citizen's wage, which is something which has been looked at in various parts in Europe where people get a minimum. I think we're talking like £71 a week minimum, and everybody's entitled to it. So when you get a job, you keep that. So it's not the case of when you on unemployment benefit, you get a job, you lose all of that. It means that people can branch out and look after themselves. Abolishing tuition fees is also a Green Party policy. Getting rid of smaller schools of up to 700 people, getting rid of all the testing in those schools, looking at state-owned railway, its success on the East Coast Main Line. It was, again, financially viable to have state-owned rather than private companies get it and we subsidise the private companies, actually keep that money within our own coffers and our own organisation. Again, NHS is similar to that. Stop this public money being given to private companies who get profit for their shareholders. You know, we should be leading that ourselves.
I've just written down a couple of things which I want the government to do. Okay, and I don't suppose I'm alone in some of these things. First thing that really annoys me is the fact that certain certain companies are allowed to earn and not pay any tax in this country. I think that's disgraceful. I also believe that there's a number of celebrities and people that earn loads of money that are allowed to do things like put their money in an account, so they obviously don't. It was a guy, Jimmy Carr, did this, didn't he? Mm-hmm. And he got into trouble.
Tax avoidance rather than tax evasion.
I don't see that. To me, I think it's all wrong. I want something done about that. These greedy companies and these greedy people that are just earning the money and are not paying any tax whatsoever.
I mean, they know the laws are. They employ people. They employ accountants who know what the laws are, and they just use those laws. You change the laws in Westminster.
I want Vic Lowthian to go up to London and bang the table and say we need to change these laws.
Though I'm not naive enough to think that. I mean, we are in a global society, and you know, people work in one country, they pay tax in a different country. I mean, it's something not going to be just solved, I don't think, in Westminster. It's a European-wide issue, or it's a global issue as well. But it's certainly not something that Ian Mac in Newport can change. It's got to be changed on a much bigger scale.
Yeah, OK. So the other things are, again, they're big things. I mean, you know, I'm fed up of hearing the prisons are full. They've closed a load of prisons. Hang on a minute. So when people break the law now, it's 9 times out of 10 they just get told, here's a slap on the wrist, don't do it again, we can't put you in prison because we ain't got the space. We've closed a prison on the Isle of Wight. I'm not... I purely believe that we should never have closed that prison. And, you know, does it really come down to funds? If so, take some of that money that we're spending on Trident and things like that, because we're talking trillions, aren't we?
And certainly pump billions.
That into the prisons. And while you're at it, have a look at the NHS and say, hey, hang on a minute, you need some money as well. I'm fed up of hearing, you know, the NHS can't do this, can't do that, purely and simply because someone's spending the money elsewhere.
Well, I think a lot of the problems that happened at St Mary's and across the country in the last 2 weeks is to do with the lack of money and organisation. It's to do with the fact that there are no walk-in centres in many parts of the country now, so people are going to A&E, and that's not cost effective. There are no beds for the bed blocking, there's no social care beds that people can be put in. So again, it's lack of investment. If you cut, you're left with the brunt of it. A&E, the front line, are taking all of this, and they can't do it. You need to invest in the NHS.
I mean, speaking of someone who's a nurse for nearly 20 years, I mean, I can't tell you how many reorganisations we had, but I watched the Channel 5 thing the other day with Nick Ferrari, and this guy, the doctor, said we've had 15 reorganisations in 30 years. And
that's almost worse than schools.
I mean... Exactly, yeah. And none of them have been evidence-based. And then you have the kind of big parties saying, oh, yes, we put all this money into it. And yes, and that's it was taken up with reorganisations. Mm. It was taken up with, you know, new things on new letterheads. It was taken up with consultants. It was, and as frontline staff, you just sit there and go, actually, we're not seeing this money that you're supposedly putting in.
So what you're saying is, say, 10 years ago when we allegedly had money, yes, you know, before the crash, the money wasn't spent on the right things.
It wasn't spent on it. We were still being told, I mean, as a community psychiatric nurse, and we were still being told every year we had to save £3.3 million. Or, do you know what I mean? So we never actually saw the benefit, mm-hmm, of this so-called investment. Actually, all we saw was more work and less patient care. And I'm guessing as a teacher, you probably experienced similar.
Yeah.
Angela McCurtry.
All I'm going to say, could I just finish in?
Go on, finish. I thought you had. There was a pause.
No. The point I'm trying to make is, if the Green Party, you know, would they stop this endless reorganisation, and would they actually start listening to the professionals who are trying to run the services, do you think?
I think a lot of the people who are involved, say, in the NHS, are involved in wanting a reinstatement bill to look at the public versus private and look at who's accountable. At the moment, the Minister of Health isn't the person who's accountable for the running of the NHS. It's all farmed out to various trusts and various independent little groups. A lot of people, I think 50 Green prospective candidates signed up to that, to reinstating it and saying this is wrong. So you're not electing me to elect a Green government.
No.
What you are electing me to do is to keep checks and balances and represent the people who have the same outlook as the Green Party.
Yeah.
So you're not electing me to run the country. I'm not saying vote for me and all tuition fees will be abolished and all trains will be in state ownership. I'm not saying that. But you do need people to vote for those policies, to put forward those policies, to represent us. Because at the moment, with three main parties that are there, they don't represent me. And they don't represent a lot of people that I know. And the Parliament should be somewhere where people from different walks of life and different opinions come together and reach a consensus of sorts. And in May, we will have a coalition. I'm pretty sure about that.
Yeah, I'm sure, yeah.
And the Green Party, and I fully agree with the Green Party leader on this, is that we will not enter into a coalition to get ministerial cars and that. We will enter into a coalition based on policy. And when policies come up that we agree with, we will vote with that policy. And when we disagree, then we'll vote against that policy. It'll be policy-led. Coalition.
See, I disagree. I think Conservatives are going to get in. That's my theory, and I think the reason why I've changed from maybe UKIP chucking a spanner in the works is because if you watch the television now, it's all being guided towards the Conservatives, the other two, and the choices are, right, you've got to pick one of those then.
Yeah, I think the Conservatives, if they did get in, would be because people stayed at home. And yeah, because people didn't know leads us on to
Angela McCurtry, who says the biggest challenge will be getting people out to vote. I won't vote Green though for a number of reasons, but mainly the wind turbine issue. See, I think you've got to open your eyes. It's just one issue. It's just one thing. The more I read about turbines, the less convinced I am that we should have them. But each to their own. Labour will remain in the wilderness for a few more years yet. I'll never vote Labour because they can't manage money. Every time they get elected, debt soars, and the next generation ends up having to pay it off. The rubbish about Labour representing the working classes is a load of old tosh. They might have done once upon a time, but not anymore. There isn't a great deal of difference between the major parties these days, so where does this all leave my vote? I'm still undecided. I certainly won't be voting Conservative if they replace Andrew Turner. I'd like to be out of the EU, and I have issues with immigration. Let's deal with the EU. Where do you stand on that?
The Green Party would vote for us to have a referendum. Would be pro-referendum in the same way that UKIP would be pro-referendum, but for completely different reasons.
But you want to stay into Europe? You want to stay in Europe?
Personally, I see the value in Europe, but I think we should have a discussion so I can actually see the facts and the figures for myself. You know, I'm of an age that I wasn't even born when we had the last referendum. I've not had a say.
People we didn't have a referendum then, did we?
No,
they
well,
just
the
said
vote.
We're going in.
Yeah. And it was over a different thing anyway. It was over an economic.
It was about to go in the common market.
It wasn't to do with this. I think you can't run away from the discussion. It is a discussion we need to have. And it is a conclusion we need to say, okay, we had that referendum. It came to this conclusion. There's no point in saying we don't want one. So if there a motion was tabled to vote to have a referendum, I would vote to have a referendum, but not because I'm against Europe or against immigration or any of those things, but I think democratic reasons we should be given a vote.
So EU, you're in. See, is that a policy? Would you say that's a policy when it comes down to it? When it comes down to a vote for EU, you're in. The Green Party are in.
Green Party are in where? In Europe.
In Europe, yeah.
Well, there's so much that Europe have done for working times, for environmental legislation, to make sure that we have less pollution in our air and our atmosphere. There are so many things that Europe does well, but there are so many things that they do badly. And in terms of the bureaucracy and the organisation, it needs some sort of reform, and it needs some sort of... We need to indicate as a nation and have this discussion and... let our representatives go forward and try and come to some sort of arrangement or start a debate Europe-wide. I mean, this is not just the things happening in Britain. This is happening in all parts of the... You know, we've got the vote in Greece at the weekend, where it's very likely that a party will be elected in Greece who will renege on all agreements to do with the euro and to do with the EU. And it's spreading around, this unhappiness with the way it's been organised. So yes, I believe that Europe is for the good, or it should be for the good, and I can see its value, but it needs reform.
Okay, but I mean, bearing in mind that I think David Cameron had a meeting with the German lady, and she said, look, you know, basically they ain't for turning, you're going to get this and that's that.
But that can be to do with individuals and how they operate in Europe and with other leaders. I don't necessarily think that David Cameron's a particularly diplomatically effective leader in that regard.
Okay, what about immigration? Where do you stand on immigration?
On immigration, we see again the economic value in having people coming to this country. They've brought more money in the last 15 years than they've taken out. It makes very good headlines to sort of such and such Polish people send their child benefit. Again, these are things that we can make legislation for, or we can reform. But on the whole, having immigration, it's a two-way thing. My partner works in Eastern Europe. He has businesses over there, and he works there. Now, if we stop immigration and stop people coming in, we stop people going out, we change people who work the other way around, who are in Europe and send money and things back to us.
So have the press, I mean, this is another bugbear of mine as well. We've got the press in this country, and to me they're doing a lot of damage. They do some good as well, but they're doing a lot of damage by saying, oh, immigration's a problem, immigration's this, immigration's that, when you really look at it, is it really a problem? Is it an issue?
Maybe in certain particular areas there might be people who feel culturally feel imposed upon. And there will be certain pockets where it's affected people. I'm not denying that it's changed some parts of this country. It's not applicable to the Isle of Wight.
Okay.
We have 1.9% of people in the Isle of Wight were born outside of the UK. I mean, it's not a problem in the Isle of Wight.
I've got a question here from David Doyle. He says, well, it's a bit of a statement and a question as well. I like a lot of what you say, especially on the tuition fees, energy and nationalised transport. At the moment, I am on the side of the Greens, but I just hope that they get a chance to make their point in the debates to the national audience. Let's face it, a large part of the country doesn't vote, but if they listen to the Greens for 1 hour on the TV in the debate, I think they would see the Greens as a party worth voting for. Good luck, Vix. So does it all stem on the fact that, you know, because where does it, you know, when do they decide who and is going to turn up to this this big thing on the TV? There's going to be definitely the three main parties there. Mm-hmm. David Cameron's threatening not to go. I would say, hey, look, Cameron, if you don't want to go, don't go. We'll do it without you. And,
yeah.
And what would that say? And that's absolutely, that's how they should play it. You're not going to dictate to the rest of the world, the rest of the country, what you're going to do. If you don't want to do it, that's fine. We'll invite someone else. Who do you think should be there?
I think those five parties. I think Labour, Conservative, Liberal Democrats, UKIP, Green. If you go to Scandinavia, various parts in Europe, they have sometimes 20 parties that are on the stage because they're used to coalition politics. Yes, there's arguments that Scottish and Welsh and Northern Irish parties should be involved as well, but I think they need to be, you know, we can't on the island vote for those parties, so they could have more localised regional debates for them.
Yeah, but we can't vote for, you know, someone in London. You know, we can't vote for David Cameron. We can only vote local.
Yeah,
so
but it's
the same
parties.
Thing.
But it's the parties, Ian.
Yeah, it's just
we can't vote SNP
right.
in England.
Yeah,
the Scottish National
so if you
Party.
Let the Greens in, yeah, you don't have to let in the SNP and the...
Yeah, but there may be Scottish people that live on the Isle of Wight.
Vote for the SNP either.
No, but they might be down here on holiday or whatever, you know.
They can set the video player to record. Well, obviously not that, but they can watch it when they...
Video recorder, blimey.
Do you know, even now I say I'm taping something.
I know.
It's true, we all do it, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
We'll leave it there. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back with more. We've got loads of questions, loads of... There's a lot of support for you as well. I don't want to appear like I'm giving you a hard time. I'm just...
It's fine. I am strong enough to take it.
We'll come back after these.
The Lunchtime Social, brought to you in association with White Fibre. Our packages are great value, and we constantly check our prices to ensure we remain competitive against other providers. Call for a chat on 01983 240 240.
Want to look and feel fantastic for that party or special occasion? Make sure you talk to the girls at Beautify and let Yolanda and her team of experienced therapists work their magic. Beautify offer a wide range of treatments from massages, eyebrow threading, lash extensions, gel nails, manicure and pedicure, spray tans and lots more, including permanent cosmetics and teeth whitening. Call Beautify today on 5335 54 or find them at 1 Chain Lane in Newport. Just look for the purple butterfly. Booking is essential. Quote Vectus Radio and you will get £10 off all treatments.
Business Insight, a weekly programme of interviews and insights from some of the island's most respected business leaders on what drives their success, plus business news and information to help your business succeed in today's fast-paced and competitive business world. Mondays at 6:20 p.m. on The Evening Event with Darren Fernando. Also available for download and podcast online at vectisradio.com. Business Insight is brought to you by Jigsaw Sales and Marketing Consultants, driving business success.
Does your garden need attention? Why not call LCL, Lee Cook Landscaping, to put it right? They are specialists in driveways, patios and paths, brickwork and stonework, decking and furniture, fencing, water features, lawns and planting, and garden maintenance. You can find them at www.lclandscaping.webs.com. No job too big or too small. Call today for a free competitive quote on 07964 465 880. That's 07964 465 880. Lee Cook Landscaping is a high-quality building and landscaping company partnered by D. Rigby Building and Landscaping.
Over 50, health beginning to suffer. Frustrated with those annoying aches and pains as you arise in the morning, but hate the thought of going to the gym. We're helpers on hand. Here at Jeremy Marr's Personal Training, we provide structured health and fitness packages that get results no matter what your starting point. Our service is both friendly and supportive, and we have helped hundreds of island residents enhance their lives. Whether you want to be able to play with your grandchildren, improve your health, have less aches and pains, or look and feel 10 years younger, we have a programme for you. Learn how to start your own health and fitness journey today. Call Jeremy Marr's Personal Training on 58008. That's 58008.
White Trash. White Trash World, the home of the island's very own skate brand, White Trash. 59 High Street Ride. It's open Mondays, Thursdays, Fridays and Saturdays, 10:30 till 6 p.m. Not just about skateboards, it's clothing, gifts, shoes, books, DVDs and more. The island's only skate store, White Trash World. Ride High Street.
The George Inn Newport, perfect for a family meal or a drink with friends. With home-cooked food, you'll find a home from home in the heart of Newport, 92 St James Street. Call 01983 522 557.
Last orders!
The Lunchtime Social, brought to you in association with White Fibre, providers of the fastest fibre optic broadband on the island. Call them on 01983 240 240. That's 01983 240 240.
Okay, here we are then. It's the Lunchtime Social Debate. It's you can phone 240666 if you so wish, but we do have a lot of questions via Facebook. We have the Green parliamentary candidate. It just happens to be Vix Lowthian. New to the game, but I like the sound of someone new going in and you know, sweeping and doing things differently. And I'm sure that's what you would do. Jules Jenner says, I would love to see wind turbines or any other form of sustainable energy. It works well in so many other countries.
Wind turbines again. There is a concern about wind turbines, that if you elect me as the representative of the Isle of Wight, I'm going to put wind turbines on every field. I mean, we do have proper planning processes here, and we do have you know, community involvement, and these things only work if you've got public support for them. Okay. Obviously offshore is becoming a bigger part for the wind turbines, and I think people have less of a problem with offshore turbines than they do with ones actually on the island.
What we should point out is that, like you just did then, I mean, we should make a massive point of it. It's not just about wind turbines.
No, it's,
you know,
not.
There's so much more. I mean, you were,
and on the island we're leading the way with a lot of this technology, with the tidal technology, and we've got a lot of solar farms. In fact, you know, as you well know, we're looking at needing stronger cabling to be able to export a lot of the energy that we create here, and we don't have turbines. You can create energy. We've got the anaerobic digestion plant. You can create energy in all sorts of more sustainable ways. You don't just need wind turbines.
Okay, we're waiting for Bex to come back in the studio. I'm sure she's got a load more questions, but what are we going to say? Mick Lyon says, Lib Dems currently have no candidate for the island, so it's hard to see them getting anywhere. 20,000 votes up for grabs there. So,
well, I mean, to be fair, they do have somebody who will be their candidate. They have a parliamentary spokesman who's currently up for election against reopen nominations, so he was hoping to stand, so they will have a candidate.
Are you surprised that there's no independent counsellor yet?
I think there's time, isn't there? There's time for them to put themselves forward. I'm surprised there isn't, no, but I think there was, and there was a bit of a problem with it. I'm surprised there isn't an official independent candidate or a well-regarded person putting themselves forward. But like you said, you know, it's actually quite a brave thing to do.
I think so. But then you know, just say, for instance, the independent, even though they're an independent, they have support. They have support of a party. I mean, you have support of a party, but it just seems because of the finances, you're going to be penalised. I think that's, you know, totally unfair. There's an argument going on in football at the moment. The Man City are buying all the new players because they got loads of money, and they're saying, oh, that's deemed unfair. Well, we should have the same kind of rules in politics. Yeah. And I think that should be fair. I think that maybe, you know, people like the county press should say, and I know that you know, someone actually quoted that they were really fair in the last election. They gave everybody the same kind of coverage. It would be nice to see, you know, if we've got seven people that are standing on the Isle of Wight, then maybe they all get a page in the county press to say, you know, at a good time, not let's do the Conservative 1 week before the election and let's do Vix Lowthian 2 months before, so by the time we get there we've all forgotten about her. Mm-hmm. You know, we should do it the week before. They should all get a page and so on. And I think that would be really, really fair, as opposed to, as it is at the moment, they've got a team of people. But, you know, you can have a little smile to yourself because that team of people seem to be squabbling at the moment and can't decide.
Yeah, it's not always helpful, is it?
Do you see, because I know there's going to be some kind of vote on Friday, whether Andrew Turner is going to still be in the position he's in. Do you see, is that changing the way you do things? You know, just say, for instance, if there was a new candidate elected next week for the Conservatives, because it might happen. There is a meeting and a vote, yeah, and it will be close.
I think it will only change the way I do things. In this, a new candidate for the Conservatives may have more energy, may be much more present at things like hustings. I haven't got any hustings timetabled in, penciled in with Andrew Turner appearing. He doesn't appear to be putting himself forward for that sort of media one-on-five or whatever debate. If there's a different sort of candidate, maybe it would be easier to argue with them, or actually be able to have more sort of confrontation is the wrong word, but more debate. Yeah. Yes. At the moment, I've only met one of the candidates. You know, I want to be able to feel I can put forward my argument as strongly as I can, without being accused of being too strong. And I think that if there was a different candidate, it would only change perhaps the way I debate. I do feel very sorry for Andrew Turner the last few months he's had. I think he's had a terrible few months, and you know, personal, private, and obviously public. And I just think it needs to be resolved for his sake and for the island's sake.
It will be come Friday. You guarantee it will be.
Will it be? Because he says he won't leave.
Let's not dwell too much on this, because this is your time.
I think it's a personal. I feel a personal sadness.
Yeah, I must admit, yeah. I think the way that they've treated him is nothing less than shambolic. I really do. I think it's dreadful the way that they've done it. You know, some might say that you might get the sympathy vote out of all of this, unfortunately, which again is not right, and it shouldn't certainly happen.
I have personally fallen out with him because he voted for Trident yesterday, and I don't think he represented what we wanted in that.
No, but he's done that for gay marriage. He's done that for bedroom taxes.
I know, absolutely.
He's done that for lots of things.
When we had him on here, but bedroom tax came up, he got really angry with me because I just said, I thought it was completely unfair.
Let's concentrate on you now, because you've got about 5 minutes now to you know, hammer home the things that you are going to do and the things that you're going to do for the Isle of Wight if you get in as MP. I'm going to ask you the question again, just that you might have to recap some of the things, but you know, this is your time. And you know, I'm going to say to you, what are you going to do for us, and why should I vote for you?
You should vote for me because you don't know who to vote for. And I think we need a change because of that. I think you should vote for me because our parliament needs better national representation than the same old parties. You should vote for me because of from an Ireland point of view, our social policies of, you know, in getting rid of the bedroom tax and the policies for the most disadvantaged, of which we have a lot on the island, in tandem with the environmental policies, which again is a big part of our island's identity, our tourism, not just our energy use, but the future of our tourism, as I see it, is an eco-sustainable sort of tourism. it's our identity for all of those things. You should vote for me because I can articulate and listen to those people, because I've not come from some sort of planned, I didn't plan to do this. That can sound detrimental, but in a way I find myself in this position that that I've come from a different background to a lot of other people. I haven't come from a council background or anything like that. I've come from a background as an ordinary citizen that said enough is enough and somebody needs to stand for against this and the direction our country is taking, not just our island. You should vote for me because the austerity cuts that we're having at the moment are hurting us as an island. The cuts that the local council are having to make are just draconian, drastic cuts that are going to affect, again, the most vulnerable people, and all because they're told by national government that they can't have any more money. And I don't believe that is the case. I think we need to reorganise our taxation system. I think we need to have stop this trickle-down effect because it doesn't work, and we need to have people getting more of an equal share in society and an equal opportunity. And I think only the Green Party are actually approaching it from that. It's not all about cuts. What would you cut? What wouldn't you cut? It's having a different way of looking at it and saying, you know, where are we going to get the money from to do this? Because as a society, we want this to happen and we're going to go and find the money for this. You should vote for me because there are a number of different policies to do with transport and to do with education and the real crucial, and the NHS, the real crucial issues that affect us as an island because of our ferries, because of our schooling, because of our problems at St Mary's. And the Green Party, again, are looking at it from a different point of view from the other parties.
Do you know what? You did that without a script. It's brilliant.
Sorry. Am I supposed to have a script?
No, it's pretty, I just wanted to point out that you did that without a script, without a list of things in front of you. You know, it came from the heart, didn't it?
Yeah.
Did you feel good?
Yeah, sorry, I speak quite fast, I need to slow.
No, not at all. It was passionate, it came across, we asked the question, and there was a lot of stuff in there that kind of made sense. David Nove says, we all need to think very carefully about whom we vote. That's all he said, and I think he's absolutely bang on. I hope that you do well. I can't say that I hope you win, because that would be unfair on the rest, you know, it's not for me to say, but I really do hope you do well, and I wish you all the very best in the forthcoming election. Good luck. Hopefully we'll see you again before.
Yeah, absolutely, I'd love to come back.
Okay, it's 2 minutes to one. Thank you for being there, Bex.
Absolutely enjoyed it.